Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on SportsGrid on this Monday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, and boy, there is a lot to get to across the sports landscape. And to help me do that over the next 2 hours is, of course, Donnie Wrightside. How are we feeling, Donnie?
Feeling good today. New week, new money, as we like to say. Big time Monday night football matchup tonight between the Patriots and the Bills, which we'll get to later. Mm-hmm. Also, the college football playoff is set. There's going to be a little bit rant, Kevin, at the end of the show on Listen Up about why college football sometimes makes no sense at all. But we got 2 hours to go and cover it all. Let's get busy.
College football not making sense? I can't believe it. We'll get into that, I am sure, throughout these 2 hours. Let's start it off. Our 7-7 top headlines begins in Detroit, which can only mean one thing. That is right. The Detroit Lions finally did it. They won a game. Only Cousins and Zimmer could allow this to happen. 29-27. Goff on the last play of the game. Donnie throws a touchdown pass, and the Lions get their first win of the season.
Yeah, you saw this coming here a little bit earlier in the week when basically, I don't know, everybody was out on the Minnesota Vikings defense. And then you said, okay, take Dalvin Cook away. And still, I was confident that the Minnesota Vikings would at least walk away with a victory. They played terrible to start the game, but alas, scored a touchdown with under 2 minutes to go to take a 4-point lead, which meant that the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff would have to drive the length of the field with no timeouts and score a touchdown. And they did, Kevin. And it all came down to the very last play of the game, which you play six defense. Defense, which means you line up everybody on the goal line and just say, hey, they're going to run right by us. We stand there and somebody blew a coverage and ease. You won't find an easier touchdown pass where you had a third and goal opportunity or fourth and goal opportunity from about 10 yards away. Oh, my goodness. Detroit gets the W.
Sticks coverage. They thought it was midway of the end zone. You don't have to stop the front of the end zone. Truly outrageous stuff there. How about a wild finish to a game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens go and put together a last drive, get the touchdown to tie the game. They just need the extra point. They say, don't worry about it, Justin. We're going to go win a football game. Well, they lost the football game, Donnie. The two-point conversion tried failed, and the Steelers steal one against the Ravens.
This is why the questions always come up on Lamar Jackson. He can be electric. Just take a look at that last drive there inside the red zone. Missed a wide-open touchdown pass to their tight end. Then on the very, two plays later, I believe, throws an absolute laser beam dart, amazing touchdown to Watkins in the end zone. Then you run the two-point conversion. Pitch and catch out there. Lamar Jackson is off. It tips it away. They lose the game. That's why every time, Kevin, we talk about he's such a great quarterback. But the reason why we don't believe in the championship just yet for Baltimore is we see those plays pop up way too many times.
I think Mark Andrews could have done him a little bit better. Also, I hated that decision regardless of the result. We'll talk about that as well. How about the favorite for the MVP, Tom Brady? This number now down to plus 150. Tom Brady throws four touchdowns in the Bucs' 30-17 victory over the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they really beat up the Falcons, and I think we all anticipated that. But then again, you say, hey, Tampa Bay, 10 points, has to cover on the road. They can't do it. Well, against bad football teams, it shows that they can do it. 30-17 final, Tom Brady was great. And here come the Bucs here heading towards the playoffs. Can they make another run at a Super Bowl championship?
And can Tom take home that MVP? We will answer those questions over the next 2 hours. Welcome in the radio audience. We appreciate all those who are tuned in to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio on this Monday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here going through the top headlines. And how about the game of the week, Donnie? The Chargers and the Bengals. And it is the Los Angeles Chargers getting the job done here, 41-22. Two top quarterbacks in this league. But the edge goes to Justin Herbert this time.
He had four touchdown passes in that game, Kevin. Neither coming, or any one of those four coming in the second half, which is disappointing to me. The 1-1 came in, which means one rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown each side came in. But 41-22 final. This game, it seemed like, was over at the half. And you say, well, wait a second, Donnie. Didn't you see the comeback here by the Cincinnati Bengals? I get it. But Joe Burrow banged up his pinky finger, was never the same, wasn't able to do much in the second half passing wise. Justin Herbert was sensational here. Big time win by the Chargers as they moved to 7-5 and also dropping the Cincinnati Bengals to 7-5.
Begs the question, are there actually any good teams in the AFC? I think Monday Night Football, though, may have something to say about that. How about the Philadelphia Eagles and Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania back in full effect. 20 of 25, 242 yards, two touchdowns, and the Birds beat the Jets 33-18. And you might ask yourself, is there going to be a quarterback controversy? Well, if people like DRS have anything to say about it, yes, there will.
Yeah, it's interesting because Gardner Minshew can run the offense better than Jalen Hurts. What are you, crazy? But yes, he's a better passer overall than Jalen Hurts is. But again, you're talking about playing the Jets defense where just about any quarterback probably would have did damage. But I have to say this. Kudos to Gardner Minshew because early on, the Philadelphia Eagles defense was broken. And that's one of the days where if your quarterback doesn't answer the bell, you're down 18-6 at the half. Good day by Gardner Minshew. Nice adjustments by the Eagles, Kevin, in the second half.
Also, if folks out there didn't cash on the Jets team total over, you deserve your money back. They made zero extra points on three of their touchdowns. A ridiculous end to the game. How about the world of college football, Donnie? Bama, Michigan, Georgia. Cincy is the order for the Final Four. Cincy gets in. You cash that plus 350 ticket.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good Final Four. We'll have a good playoff. But the day they're playing, Kevin, come on now. Come on.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, I mean, that's college football for you. Also, Brett Venables leaving Clemson to go and take over for Lincoln Riley for Oklahoma. Really, the big takeaway is Clemson's falling apart, and you love to see that. Come right back. The Early Line continues on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, and the Detroit Lions won their first game. This puts the pressure up on folks like myself and Donnie Wrightside, who are positioned on the Detroit Lions under 1.5 wins. But it begs the question, how many more times do they get to see the Minnesota Vikings? None? All right, then I'm not too worried about that. The Lions, though, Donnie, enter themselves as one of the top stories here. Again, a group that has managed to win one game, and people adore this team, constantly competing, and Dan Campbell gets his first win as an NFL head coach. What's your takeaway from the Lions finally breaking through?
Yeah, gritty performance. I mean, they played some close games here, but also you have to remember where they're playing these close games, right? Like the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, nice tie. Well, I mean, Mason Rudolph was at quarterback here. So you take a look at, remember the game back where they had that, I don't know, what, 66-yard field goal they lost on? But remember, that was one of those COVID games for the Baltimore Ravens where they were decimated there. And yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings, basically the entire defensive starting line was out for this game. Your entire linebacker unit was out for this game. He came in on offense without Dalvin Cook and immediately lost Adam Thielen in that game. And still at the end of the game, the Minnesota Vikings had a 4-point lead with 1:50 on the clock and said, Detroit, you got to go all the way down the field to score a touchdown. And it's one of the things that baffles me, Kevin. I will never understand it. It's very simple to me. The only thing you have to do in the final minute and 50 is keep the football player in the middle of the football field. So you play a defense that blankets the outside where you say, hey, you want to have five dump offs over the middle, the game is going to be over. But if you remember the third down and 10, where they had a dump off over the middle, four or five jukes and a 15-yard gain, and the player got out of bounds, but also more importantly, at the end of this football game, I just can't believe it. You have one play left in your tank. So you basically say, if you're the Minnesota defense, you just can't let anybody just get in front of you here. You have 10 yards, line up at the goal line. The minute they run at you, you got it covered. And a blown coverage on the left side, which left where like an easy pitch and catch for a touchdown. Disastrous loss for Minnesota Vikings. And if they wanted to get in the playoffs, looks like it's going up in smoke, Kevin.
Yeah, I sneaky thing that actually the Vikings and their playoff hopes is the bigger story in some, or at least moving forward, right? Give Detroit credit. I think there's something to be said about the state of this team. I don't think they're well coached. I think they're well motivated as it pertains to Dan Campbell. And eventually that's going to be enough to break through. It shows just how difficult it is to be winless in the NFL. It really is. All in all, you look forward again They have three road games. I will be stunned if they win a road game next week at Denver, better than a touchdown dog. And the home games are the Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. Again, unless Green Bay plays Jordan Love, I think it's still difficult for Detroit to grab another one this year. However, they have now started a transition to a bit of a covering machine since they hit their bye week, four straight covers. We'll see how that trend continues. But on the Minnesota side, Donnie, the Vikings, truthfully, are a team that we never take serious. But we always try and add those caveats, and you always bring it up, right? The numbers that Kirk Cousins will put forward, right? And Kirk Cousins is having another, statistically, tremendous season, right? Better than 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns to three interceptions. I'm not even going to tell you that they lost this game here with Kirk Cousins. Mike Zimmer needs to be brought into the conversation. But this is a team that is 5-7. They've held a touchdown lead in all of their seven losses. They sit here with a roster, Donnie, that they show up every single week and they can beat the best teams in the NFL. That two-game back-to-back run, a win at the Chargers and a home victory against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But at the end of the day, they also, every single time they play against the bottom of the league, like the Detroit Lions, they might also lose the game. It is a team that we don't take serious. And every single big Kirk Cousins game, people try and say, look at those numbers, take them serious. And then the next go around, they give you another reason, Donnie, as to why you can never really take this iteration of the Minnesota Vikings serious.
Yeah, and a lot of times you would like to put the blame on Kirk Cousins and that offense. How many times, Kevin, do we watch these offense say, well, what do you want the quarterback to do? All his weapons are out. Well, basically, all his weapons were out outside of Justin Jefferson, and he had 11 for 182 and a touchdown here. So they fed him the ball, which they said they were going to start doing just a couple weeks ago. But this is the Minnesota Vikings here in 2021. They play everybody close. Doesn't matter if it's really good competition or play down to their competition. But I think something also that is going to get glossed over in this football game. You take a look at Dan Campbell. They fight. You saw the press conference. It was emotional. Let's also remember what Dan Campbell did with 4 minutes to go in the game, a 4th-and-1 on their own 30-yard line, going for it and having Jared Goff drop back, strip sack, fumble, and then the Vikings take over at the 20-yard line going in. That sort of gets glossed over here. That is a horrendous coaching decision where you should have lost the football game based on that. Because when we take a look at Kevin percentages, right, let's just say it was 4th-and-1, and you get a conversion from Detroit for 3 yards. That didn't guarantee you won the game, but what it should have guaranteed is that you went for it and didn't get it. You lost the game because you didn't even give up a field goal. You gave up a touchdown. So you needed a miracle comeback to overcome that horrible coaching by Dan Campbell, but actually worked out in their favor as they got the W, 29-27.
And that's why it doesn't all fall on Kirk Cousins. I mean, look, he was great in the second half. He was bad in the first half. I think that's a fair way to split it. And overall, the whole second half was without an Adam Thielen. You mentioned no Dalvin Cook in this football game. Kirk Cousins wasn't out there playing, you know, in the two deep during that Lions 2-minute drill. I understand all of that. And that's why it's a combination of a Mike Zimmer thing. At the end of the day, you're looking at a Vikings team here, Donovan, unless they go on a magical run. And I mean not just making the postseason, but I mean winning at least, if not multiple playoff games, there needs to be change. We talk about sometimes in sports, Donnie, hitting the ceiling, and this Minnesota Vikings group has hit a ceiling. And whether that's getting rid of one of Zimmer or Cousins or both of Zimmer or Cousins, I don't see another option for this team, Donnie. I just don't know how you keep running this back. And yes, I know that there will be a franchise out there somewhere that will gladly take the talent of a Kirk Cousins into their team and will upgrade their quarterback play. And I'm sure there will be franchises willing to bring in Mike Zimmer as a defensive coordinator. I don't know about a head coaching job, but he'll still be around this league if he wants to be around this league. But Donnie, it feels fair to me to say that the Minnesota Vikings, this group, has hit their ceiling.
No, absolutely. It seems like they have, because you're right. When you take a look at the talent versus the output of what you're getting with the talent, it's not adding up. And you look, they got to the NFC Championship game, lost to the Eagles in 2017, but that was a team that you figured would have stayed there. And you say, okay, Kirk Cousins is going to be the franchise quarterback here. We have plenty of weapons out here, great running back, great wide receivers, and it all should work out. And it just hasn't. Sometimes you need a change where you say it's just not working anymore. And more than Kirk Cousins leaving, because I think he's a fine quarterback, at least during the regular season here, but maybe you need a new coach to revamp the defense or the offense and give a different scheme look, because something with the Minnesota Vikings just isn't working.
And also, just to be fair, though, Donnie, that trip to the conference championship, that was Case Keenum. Kirk Cousins then came in with that roster the next season, yeah. and they were yep. supposed to hit a new level, and they didn't hit that new level. They, look, and again, they've not been disastrous in any of the seasons with a Kirk Cousins, but they've also not been good enough during these seasons with Kirk Cousins. And look, this is a team that has a win in New Orleans during this run in the postseason. Now, part of that is because that Saints group's wildly overrated and are a bunch of fools for suggesting that they would have beat the Eagles despite losing to the Vikings, who the Eagles blasted. But let Alvin Kamara think whatever he wants. That's obviously not played out any of the seasons since then. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that Kirk Cousins isn't one of the 15-ish best quarterbacks and maybe a little bit better in this league. He is. And I'm not saying there isn't a place for Mike Zimmer somewhere in this league. There likely is. And there's talent on this team. But you can't sit here 5-7 and in all of your seven losses have a touchdown lead in all of those games. You cannot sit here and lose at home to Cooper Rush. You can't sit here and give the Detroit Lions their first win of the season. You can't only score 7 at home against Cleveland. The collapse against the Cardinals. You cannot have these things that the Minnesota Vikings have on their resume, and it's going to cost a lot of people their jobs here overall. A lot more from this week to break down. We keep things rolling right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. Come right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. Let's go over some of the big matchups in the AFC. Let's start in Pittsburgh, Donnie. The Steelers upset the Baltimore Ravens as anywhere from a 4.5 to a 3-point underdog. The game goes well under, although overbackers had life and the Ravens took that away from them as they opted for a 2-point conversion. And I, Donnie, in real time found this to be a horrible decision. Because you know that Justin Tucker is going to step up and make that extra point, unlike the rest of these jabroni kickers in this league. And at that point there, you can win the toss and take the football and go right down the field as you just did. But again, the worst case scenario is the Pittsburgh Steelers win the toss. And I know Pittsburgh was able to score on their final three drives of the game. But it's, to me, still Big Ben, and it's still the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I still feel like I would put them to the test and try and force them to be able to do that here, Donnie. What did you make of Harbaugh and the Ravens' decision to go for that 2-point conversion?
I didn't mind it. You're on the road. You have an electric quarterback in Lamar Jackson who's run-pass option. If you say, like, hey, I just need to get 2 yards, there's very few quarterbacks that I probably would say, like, hey, if you get this guy outside the pocket, he can run or throw and probably pick up easily that 2-point conversion and win the game. I didn't have a problem with it, even though you do have Justin Tucker, as you said, on the sideline here, one of the best kickers, if not the best kicker of all time in the NFL, which is probably going to make that extra point. But case in point, if you're the Ravens, this is back-to-back weeks where you were ugly on offense, and you were up again mm-hmm. a touchdown heading into the fourth quarter against Big Ben in this offense. And it's apparent here. And you saw the word come out last week, like Big Ben behind the scenes told everybody in the Steelers, hey, look, man, it's my last run. It's pretty apparent. I don't have much left in the tank. So it's still astonishing to me that the Steelers, 6-5-1 now, picking up a victory over the Baltimore Ravens, that Big Ben, you know, 21-31, 236 and 2 touchdowns, credit him for having a very good fourth quarter. But he was a disaster for the first 3 quarters. Arm looks weak, can't get out of the pocket, no movement out here. And it looks like the bottom just dropped out on the Ravens here. But it comes down to, you're right, Kevin, the last drive of the game. Nice drive of the Ravens. Get all the way down and score the touchdown here. T.J. Watt, who, Kevin, keep in mind, was a late addition to this ball game due to COVID protocols where he tested negative on Friday and Saturday was able to play on Sunday. And why is it a big deal? I don't know. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. But on the very last play of the game, basically, for the Baltimore Ravens, who rushed the passer, forced an errant throw from Lamar Jackson? You guessed it. It was T.J. Watt. Some of those big-time playmakers stepping up in the biggest moments here. But credit the Steelers for the victory. But I think this says now a lot more about the Baltimore Ravens, Kevin. Back-to-back weeks. Terrible on offense. They need to get something going here.
Look, Baltimore sits there at 8-4, the same mark as every division leader at the moment in the AFC. I've defended this group, Donnie, a lot of the year, saying that they're winning in a way that people have kind of asked them to win. Can you win without perfect conditions? Can you win coming from behind, not be a regular season bully? And they've done that. But now it's gone a little bit too far. And they just don't look good right now, as you mentioned, on the offensive side of the ball. Now, you had a weird Thursday night game. Then Tyler Huntley started. Then it was Lamar's first week back. Okay, Pittsburgh, and oh, fine, it's a tough defense. But here's the thing, Donnie. This is how Baltimore is going to close out the season. At Cleveland, home versus Green Bay. At Cincinnati, home versus the Rams, home versus the Steelers. Every single team they play is at 500 or better down the rest of the stretch here. Look, Baltimore's a dog next week in Cleveland. Is this team going to, you know, miss the postseason? I'd be stunned. But could this team surrender their current division lead? It's in the cards. They still got three division games left.
No, you're right about it. It's a good point you bring up here, because how many times are we looking here at the topsy-turvy stats and the standings here in the AFC? Just 2 weeks ago, it was, man, hey, Titans, you know, they'll win out. They'll be fine. Or, you know, they'll go 4-1 down the stretch, even though they don't have any wide receivers or running back. And all of a sudden, they are falling off here. Then you take a look at the Baltimore Ravens, who can seize the day in the AFC North. Weren't able to do that here. The New England Patriots, if it ended today, Kevin, would be the number one overall seed. Hey, Bill Belichick in the playoffs. That can be flipped upside down once again with the game tonight between the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. When we say a lot of the times, Kevin, any given Sunday, and it's a week-to-week league, just look at the NFC-AFC playoff standings here and how much they change each and every week, where there's no clear front runner who's going to run away with anything at this point.
Let's talk about a ridiculous game that took place in Cincinnati. The Bengals closed actually under the field goal number against the Los Angeles Chargers. That ended up not mattering, and this game goes well over with a 41-22 final. But there is a lot more interesting story than simply that final score. 24-0. The Los Angeles Chargers led this game with 10 minutes left in the second quarter. And then all of a sudden, with 7 minutes left in the third quarter, it was 24-22. And then the Chargers finished things off on a 17-0 run. It was a topsy-turvy football game. Both teams really had their chances, but I think, Donnie, Cincinnati put themselves just too far behind the eight ball in the early beginnings of this game to have enough to push through the finish line here, and the Chargers got maybe their biggest win of the season.
Yeah, you had some plays that didn't go your way, and particularly, you know, Joe Burrow banging up his throwing hand on his pinky late in the first half. That certainly didn't go your way. Also, you saw Joe Burrow with a laser beam to Jamar Chase in the first half that turned into an interception. On the stat sheet, you don't get to say, like, hey, that's not my fault, because it wasn't. That's a 50-yard gain that turned into an interception and a turnover. And how about Joe Mixon, who's been so wonderful over the past, you know, 3 to 4 weeks here on the ground since he's been healthy, drops the football on the ground that's returned back for a touchdown, and then late in the game, we're just trying to get back into a little bit. Joe Burrow throws a terrible red zone interception. So things weren't going the right way for the Cincinnati Bengals, but credit the Chargers for going on the road. Wasn't this one of these games, Kevin, that we talked about? It even caught me up a little bit, saying, why is the line only 2.5 and 3 here? The Bengals just showed out against the Steelers and crushed them. Now they're going to be at home, and they're talking everything right. Like, hey, we're young, we're hungry, we're not going to celebrate this Pittsburgh Steelers win. Then they go out and get blasted by the Chargers. Sometimes you just don't know either way which way these teams are heading here. And keep in mind, great game by Justin Herbert. Eckler with a couple touchdowns here. But this was one of those games where you circled the wagons for the Bengals and said, boy, they really should dominate this defensive line for the Chargers that's injured. And you lost Bosa just a couple plays into the game. Credit the Chargers here. And maybe they have a head coach, Kevin, that might get into the coach of the year race again.
No, I mean, I don't know, unless they fire every other coach for some reason. That guy has no chance. He's doing nothing really to help this football team, if we're being honest here. But I mean, look at the Cincinnati Bengals' last six. I mean, maybe the most ridiculous six-game window you will find in the NFL. They beat the Baltimore Ravens on the road 41-17. They follow that up then by losing to Mike White and the New York Jets 34-31. They then follow that up by losing at home to the Cleveland Browns 41-16. They tell them, okay, regroup. They come back, blast Vegas 32-13, obliterate the Pittsburgh Steelers 41-10, and then get dominated by the end of the game by the Los Angeles Chargers 41-22. They've played one close game in the last 6 weeks, and it was a three-point loss as a double-digit dog to the New York Jets. This is a team that it truly does. Good luck. It's the kind of team you line up, Donnie, and you're like, you know what? I like a total in this game. I like props in this game. I don't know what you want me to do when it comes to a Cincinnati Bengals side, it feels like, Donnie. And you know, you're right. In some spots, you're looking at the 2.5 going, what's going on here? I feel like I'm looking at that saying, I don't care. I want nothing to get this away from me, this spread. Get this Cincinnati team away from me. And this game perfectly captures the state of the AFC. If the season ended today, both of these teams are in the playoffs. Neither one would feel like an easy out for whomever were to draw them in a, you know, 2-7 matchup or a 3-6 matchup. But also, both teams feel live to get completely blown out in the AFC playoffs. They also feel tremendously live to miss the AFC picture overall. Just truly bizarre teams. I want to, though, Donnie, make sure we get to Sunday Night Football within this segment here, because you talk about bizarre. The Kansas City Chiefs opened their season through the first 5 or so weeks, putting forward a historically garbage defense, one of the worst defenses it felt like we had seen in some time. And all of a sudden, Donnie, now over the last 5 weeks, they've transitioned into, I don't know, a top five defense in the NFL? What is going on with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, this is a wild time, right? Because you're looking at the Chiefs, where the offense always carries the day. And what are you asking for, Steve Spagnuolo, in that defense? Just give me one stop late in the game so we can win this bad boy 37-31. Not the case anymore. Now it's almost like the defense is running the show and not Andy Reid's offense in Kansas City. But I have to say this. If you're going to play the Kansas City Chiefs on the road, Vic Fangio, awesome. I don't know if you had the under in this football game or what was going on your side, or maybe you're just trying to say, hey, I got a sweetheart teaser that I'm just trying to stay here and stick around in this game. Because you go into games, Kevin, and the only way you beat the Kansas City Chiefs is if you're an aggressive offense. And let's be serious here. This wasn't the Giants coming in of a couple weeks ago with Daniel Jones at quarterback and nothing at wide receiver or running back, and you're trying to make the most of it, right? This was a team coming in with three legitimate wide receivers, two good tight ends, an emerging young rookie, and Teddy Bridgewater, a veteran at quarterback. And you said to me, our only objective is to chew clock and see if we can keep it close in the fourth quarter. That's not how you win football games against the Chiefs. That was a disaster. Javonte was at 23 carries for 102 yards, and you barely moved the needle in this one. Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, it's not enough. Once you get a legitimate quarterback on the Denver Broncos, Kevin, they're going to be a good football team. But as I said, they don't have a legitimate quarterback on their roster.
Tough morning for our guy Nugs watching this Broncos team here. Look, the Kansas City Chiefs have not only won their last two games, they've covered both of those games, and they've scored 19 and 22. I don't know what's going on in Kansas City, but they've got a five-game winning streak and haven't allowed 20 or more in five of those games. I don't know what's happening there. Interesting stuff coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on a Monday morning, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside set to talk the college football playoff. But before we do that, I have one final question for you, Donnie, on the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, it's a little convoluted, but I am trying to take the temperature on this group. So I ask you this question. What is more likely to continue? Their defense basically performing at a top eight level amongst the rest of this league, or their offense remaining broken?
I got to tell you, like, sometimes you just have to ride the hot hand, Kevin. The offense, outside of the one game where they put up, like, 40 points, doesn't it just seem like they're a team right now in the high teens and low 20s, and that's the ceiling? Never would have thought that before. Their running game, not all that effective. The splash plays, where are they right now? Because did you watch last night, Kevin, in that game? How many times were you not on the same page between Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes? Between, you know, Tyreek Hill on the outside and Patrick Mahomes, there's something just a little bit off on that offense where you're waiting for it to click, where it's so fluid. The past couple years was, hey, pencil them in for 30-plus points and see what happens, and the defense can make some stops. The defense is playing really good and the offense not playing so well. So I'm going to lead to believe that the defense actually has it figured out. Crazy times for me, Kevin, that I'm going defense with the Chiefs above offense right now.
They're just a very bizarre team. You also see how I had to give a very long-winded, slow intro to a topic there. Because when Donnie moves on to a new subject, I got to yank him back. You're like, all right, now let me talk about this Cincinnati game. Like, Donnie, I didn't ask you about that. But I will ask Donnie about the Cincinnati Bearcats here, because the college football playoff unveiled the Final Four. And, of course, they got it wrong, but we knew that was going to happen no matter what. Alabama number one, Michigan number two, Georgia number three, and Cincinnati number four. We can talk about, Donnie, the format of these teams. We can talk about the matchups we're getting. But we need to talk about the SEC championship game, because we continued to wonder, how would Alabama compete? And more specifically, how would they move the football? Well, 41 points, 421 yards for Bryce Young later, and Alabama did whatever they wanted against a defense that entered allowing less than a touchdown per game. All of a sudden, Georgia was a team that was being viewed as fraudulent. There were some insane people suggesting Baylor should get in front of Georgia. They should have their accounts suspended for at least 24 hours with those horrid takes. Donnie, your thoughts on Alabama dominating Georgia in the SEC title game?
I mean, sensational stuff. And again, from watching what I've seen this year out of Georgia and Alabama, that was a shocking performance that they got dropped 41-24. And at times, Kevin, you saw the game start out. Georgia's going to roll Alabama. This is what Nick Saban gets. Ha, ha, ha. Finally, Georgia's going to get over, win the SEC, and cruise into a national championship because they want to face Alabama again. And here we go, a dominating performance. This also coming off a performance the week before in the Iron Bowl where Alabama wasn't very good at all. If you would have told me before the game they're going to be down double digits in this game or down in the first half, and then also Mechie, you're going to lose him about midway through the game, how do you stack up here? Because Alabama was even better in the second half than they were in the first half here. Credit to Nick Saban getting this team ready to play football, because quite honestly, I was already moved on. Like, before, when the day started, my biggest thought was, oh my goodness, you know, if Baylor can beat Oklahoma State, Notre Dame is clearly going to get into the college football playoff now. And yet here comes Alabama saying, whoa, not so fast here. You gave me 7 points roughly in this game. We won it outright by 17. Here goes Alabama, the number one overall seed now in the college football playoff. And I got to say, I was shocked that Alabama dominated Georgia.
I think you should have been shocked. Listen, I can't stand folks who go, ha ha, how didn't you see this coming? Because I've watched college football this year. That's how I didn't see this coming. I got Saban as a dog. All right, relax. You take it easy over there. This is a Georgia team, though, Donnie, that now you have to wonder a little bit. Did a recipe get put forward? Now, the question is the recipe having a clear future first-round draft pick at quarterback? Nothing but all-universe skill position players. And obviously, one of the greatest coaches in the history of sport, much less this sport here, in Nick Saban. But Michigan obviously is going to line up against this Georgia team, and McNamara is not Bryce Young, and Michigan's brand of football is not Alabama's brand of football here. But the shine was taken off a Georgia group, Donnie, where we started to ask ourselves, you know what? Two big games with Kentucky and Arkansas. That pales in comparison to even having to play an Ole Miss, Donnie, if you will, in SEC play. And Georgia would have likely dominated an Ole Miss if they had. But remember, their biggest game of the season, right, was week one against Clemson. And what we found out, especially in the beginning of the year, Clemson was terrible. A legitimately bad football team. And on offense, just impossible to watch, impossible to digest. And for Alabama, again, to click in that fashion was so, so impressive. And it now has them as the number one team, as the favorite to win the college football playoff. I ask you this, though, Donnie, because for me, I don't think this team should be number one. And they went out and said it had nothing to do with avoiding a rematch. Okay, fine. I just hope people understand that avoiding a rematch makes no sense. That has nothing to do with what the college football playoff is about. If there is a rematch, there is a rematch. I just don't understand the logic, Donnie, of a team that won 42-3 being jumped. I know Bama beat Georgia. I know they beat him handedly. Michigan won against Iowa 42-3. Did you end up agreeing with how the committee sliced this top four in their order?
I see why they did it, though, Kevin. And once we get around that, the college football invitation, it's not a playoff because it's not, you know, the top 24, 31 teams get in. This is an invitational, and it's still a TV show when it's said and done here. So when you are on a TV show, you say, hold on now. I can have a brand new episode next week, or I can run a rerun of what you guys just watched the week before. So the college football playoff goes, hey, what's probably going to be best for ratings here? We can't run back the SEC championship game the next time we see Georgia and also Alabama. And we know the SEC, no matter what happens, is big ratings. Hey, idea, guys. Probably no matter what happens, we're going to have an SEC team in the championship game and not just eliminate one right off the bat. Or better yet, we can have two SEC teams in the championship game. So it didn't surprise me. But the one thing that I do get annoyed with is, and your point is correct here, we're going into a college football game with a top 20 opponent in Iowa. You're number two in the country. Mm-hmm. You didn't just beat them. Mm-hmm. You rolled them, as you said, by 40 points. And you're going to get jumped in that aspect. It was what was leading me up to, Kevin, with Cincinnati as the four seed here. Like, we were having honest conversations about if Oklahoma State ended up beating Baylor and got in as a one-loss team. And then he said, now, hold on here. You get Cincinnati goes out and handles their business by double digits against a ranked opponent, but they're going to get jumped because another team beat another ranked opponent. It doesn't make sense. But when it all boils down to what the committee wants and thinks what's best for college football overall, dollars-wise and ratings-wise, you see everything play out here in perfect sense.
I just, again, it's not like it would have cost Bama their spot. If rematches are a problem, then you need to put a limit on the amount of teams from a conference inside your top four. But none of that's really going to happen. And, I, you know, it's funny. Someone told me, because I earlier in the day was like, oh, Bama's number one regardless. My bad. I should have wrote, unless Michigan wins by 40. Because I didn't think Michigan was going to win in this way against the Hawkeyes, Donnie. I thought this was impressive and surprising. I know Iowa has their offensive deficiencies here, but they're also one of the better defenses that college football has offered throughout this season. It was a dominant, dominant performance from the Wolverines. We've talked about the first three teams here. Lastly, though, Donnie, Cincinnati. And the only thing that made me a little bit happy to see Cincy get in, because, yeah, no, I'm that guy who didn't really care about Cincy. I think that's the product of being a Notre Dame fan, though, was my guy DRS bringing home a plus 350 ticket that he told you to listen up on for Cincy to make the college football playoff. Well done, Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah, it was a good win by Cincinnati. And this was still a couple weeks ago because the ticket wasn't placed like a week ago. Like, hey, when did they get in? It was placed in the first week of November where a lot of dominoes still had to fall and go their way. And, oh, yeah, Houston still had to win out and get into the college football playoff. They deserve this year. And for the first time, Kevin, in a long time, there's not really any controversies. We're always going to make controversies. Like, hey, Michigan should be one, not Alabama. Yeah. I understand that. But I think the college football committee got it right here. And it was the only way that could actually get it right. You had everybody screaming, Cincinnati, it's not fair. They went undefeated. They beat Notre Dame. You know, they won their conference championship over a ranked opponent. How could you leave them out? They didn't have to leave them out because of how the dominoes fell in the final Saturday of college football here. So from a ratings perspective for myself, I love where the college football playoff is going because it has a lot of intrigue, even though the odds makers tell you, Kevin, in the semifinal here, it's not really going to be too much, as you have basically double-digit favorites on both sides here that should roll all the way through. But we'll see it play out. And as I said again, college football, bowl games, the Rose Bowl. Get over it. I'm going to leave it there.
and Donnie will, I'm sure, at the back end of the show, handle a lot of that stuff, and he'll do a great job with that. I will add quickly a world where, again, this finished as a 1-8 instead of a 1-4, and people telling me that you would have been upset to get Georgia, Ohio State. Obviously, you folks are out to lunch. Also, quickly on Ohio State, people said that Baylor should jump Notre Dame to get into the college football playoff. No team has ever been in the college football playoff with two losses. And you were under the impression that they were going to put in a TCU team, who one of their two was Baylor team, that one of their two losses was TCU. Obviously not. That is why they didn't even get in front of Ohio State. But to the more important topic, Donnie, as we were discussing here, the Cincinnati Bearcats, at the end of the day, they did deserve this last spot here. Like, truly, if you look through the rest of the college football landscape, it's nothing but teams with multiple losses, and then it's a Notre Dame team that they beat head-to-head. They were rightfully selected into the college football playoff. There were some folks who suggested Cincinnati should jump Georgia. Again, I can't get there because I still maintain, Donnie, that if Cincinnati did play a Power 5 schedule, even an ACC, which is hardly a Power 5 during this season at times, I really do believe that Cincinnati would have tripped up somewhere along the way, but they deserve this. Now, you touched on it, though, DRS, here. These look-ahead lines, they're not saying we're maybe getting the most competitive of football games here. What jumps out to you when you look at Alabama as a 2-touchdown favorite and Georgia as a touchdown favorite?
Yeah, I look at it also, Kevin, the style points aren't needed, right? And I sort of harp on that, where you're trying to get into the college football playoff. Now you're here. And the same thing that we talk about, Kevin, in the field of 64 come March Madness, survive in advance. So you look towards the dogs here, but this is one of those where everybody's going to line up on a side, right? Cincinnati deserve to be in. I'm going to bet them. I told you all year long Cincinnati shouldn't be in it. I'm going to bet Alabama. But just one quick point here on Notre Dame. If this, I wish a certain scenario would have happened here where Oklahoma State would have won, Cincinnati lost. Oklahoma State jumps Notre Dame and knocks them out of the final spot, even though they were ranked higher. Because if Notre Dame doesn't see the writing on the wall, this is going to continuously happen unless you get an expanded playoff field. The fact that you are not playing in the final week of the season where everybody else is, that's going to be detrimental. Notre Dame, get yourself in a conference so you won't have to have these conversations in the future.
I will say, though, someone tried to say that if the playoff had it their way, they'd obviously put Notre Dame in front of Oklahoma State. That's not true. They jumped Oklahoma State in front of Notre Dame coming into the weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the college football conversation here on the early line. I got to be honest, I don't think there is a sport that gets me more riled up because of others' takes than college football. It's just kind of the nature of the deal. People are always trying to make these preposterous arguments that really just take like 4 seconds to think and you'll realize it doesn't really work out. And I'm wondering a little bit, Donnie, do you think anybody's going to make a preposterous argument that Bryce Young won't be winning the Heisman Trophy? A minus 6,000 favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Look, I don't know who out there is going to bet $6,000 to win $100, but you would win $100 if you bet the $6,000. He's very obviously going to win this award.
Yeah, and if you follow me on Twitter there, which I know Kevin commented as well, as soon as I saw the first half finish, I didn't care what happened in the second half or if Alabama won or lost. He was going to win the Heisman Award. That was a clutch performance because, I mean, all the hype coming up to this game, like, Bryce Young's got no chance to win this. Going up against Georgia, historically good defense. They're not going to win this football game. So we were trying to angle to see, I don't know, if we can get Desmond Ridder 100-1 in there or Kenny Pickett at a 20-1. And don't even let me get started on the fake slide that everybody was so impressed with. Okay. Let me be commissioner, as I said, of the NCAA. Kenny Pickett would have had a $1 million fine, Kevin.
When I saw that play, and I was bothered by it, I knew that I had been hanging around Donnie Wright's side a little too long. But ultimately, it is the correct take. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because what happens the next time he takes a slide and then the defensive player just goes barreling into him and then he goes, well, what did you want me to do? He's faking the slide and then the quarterback gets injured and then there's a brawl. Don, I give you, 20 seconds here? Fake slide? I know you hate it.
Fake slide, take it out. Look, I like simple things in life. Keep everything honest. Some people like, you know, Fernando Tatis hitting grand slams in a game. They're up double digits and blowing off signs. Not old school Donnie. Old school Donnie wants this game to be played correctly. Make me commissioner. We'll get back to the basics.
Grand slam, totally okay. Terrible take. Fake slide, not okay. Is Tom Brady the MVP? Do we discuss this?
It's simple, really. Listen. Win. Don't listen. Lose. I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.